for us to be one with nature and
what
our nature.
What the hell was that?
It's a bullfrog. It is a bullfrog, which sounds a little bit like a goat.
Well, I think he sounds a cross between a goat and a cow.
It's
not going to get any mommy bullfrogs, that's for sure.
There's a bit of livestockness in its sound.
I've got a river frog that lives at my house.
Oh, really? That's so fun.
And he shouts like hell every now and again, but he still hasn't found a girlfriend.
Really?
So he just sits on his rock squawking.
Maybe you need to bring in one for him.
Well, that's going to yet happen.
Oh.
Yes, I'm sure another one will appear. Fascinates me where he came from.
Oh, did you not?
No, he just appeared. No, he appeared.
Okay.
No, he adopted us.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe he just needs to be patient.
Of course, each time he now does the grunt has found his bark. So each time he croaks, the grunt barks.
Right.
Yes.
It's a lot of activity.
It's a lot of activity for a little dog to try and work out what a frog is. I love frogs. Frogs, I think they're interesting. And it's also one of those things how lots of little boys scare lots of little sisters by chasing them with a frog.
I love a reptile. Reptiles are my favorite thing. I love an amphibian. So frogs, I think frogs are cool. They're a little bit kind of slimy. But I don't mind that. My favorite animals are snakes, and they can feel a little bit slimy.
We used to sit at the Vaal Dam when you get those flying ants, and you find some poor innocent frog sitting there, and you shine the light, and all the ants gather around the light, and you see the frog eventually sort of can't even put his tongue out. It's going, oh God, not another ant!
Really?
Oh yeah, they gorge themselves to a standstill. They're lovely, and some of them are tiny, and some of them are big, and
yeah.
Bullfrogs and the bullfrogs I like, but bullfrogs I like the story of them, the way that they look after everything and they do their thing, you know. So
yeah.
they're kind of cool. And to find a new one,
yes.
Now this is fascinating me. I like archaeology as well, and it always fascinates me how continuously we find something new in archaeology, and we do exactly the same in wildlife.
Yeah,
there's a new species described
that's just been hiding somewhere,
and I want to know what they mean by when they say described. That's a frog.
Yeah,
is there more to it than that?
Yeah, what kind of frog? What are its markings?
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, yes. And to tell us, I guess, about this and the importance of this discovery. Prof. Louis Dupre. They're a professor in zoology at the Northwest University, and the professor joins us on the line this morning. Professor, a very good morning to you. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Morning to you.
Thank you so much for your time. So you and your team of researchers have discovered a new species of bullfrog, African bullfrog. Please tell us about this discovery.
Yes, we were quite excited. In 2019, the Namibian Department they called Environment, Forestry and Tourism, and also Department of Fisheries, Inland Fisheries, contacted us to help them with a survey to identify all the frogs and reptiles in the northeast of Namibia, in the area that's known as the Nainai Concession and the Kaudam Reserve. And this is because they want to declare these Nainai pans as a Ramsar site of importance. And so for that, they need to know what wildlife occurs in the area. And so this was funded by the Kwandu Carnivore Trust, and we went up there and we got to this one pan, and there was this big bullfrog. And when I took there are bullfrogs up there in Namibia, they're well known, but when I got to this pan, I immediately realized that I've seen this guy before because he looks different. And then 12 years before, I saw a bullfrog in the Okavango, but actually a student of mine, Madeleine, at that stage, Leroux, now Byron, did a master's on the frogs of the Okavango. And she noticed this bullfrog, and she took pictures, But at that stage, we didn't have permits to correct the number and study them in detail. And we then started searching for this frog and couldn't find it again until now, end of 2019, when we saw this in Namibia. Now, as the crow flies, this is only about 100 kilometers from where we saw the initial one. We then started with the process. We collected a few, I think six, and that was also in collaboration with Dr. Francois Becker from Namibian Museum in Windhoek, and then Dr. Francois Jacobs from Fisheries, and then a colleague, Dr. Ed Netherlands from Free State University, and then a couple students as well. And we collected these frogs and then started studying them. And when you describe a new frog, it's not just a matter of, oh, this looks different, let's take a picture and publish it. You have to follow a process where you look at the molecular side, the DNA of the frog, and determine if this frog is genetically distinct from any known bullfrogs, and then start measuring. And we measure literally everything, every toe, every aspect of the frog, and it came out to be totally a different species of frog, which we described. And that was now published this year. So it's quite an empty process. And earlier on this year, we went back to the area and we found them and we were able to get more information on them.
Louis, now we've got some visually challenged, I think is the right word that we use nowadays, listeners. Describe this character to us and sort of a little bit of the difference between what we would know as our large bullfrog that you see in Gauteng.
Yes. Okay. Now, the large bullfrog that we have is an olive green with a couple white spots or specks on the dorsum, and it's known as Pyxicephalus adspersus. And the adspersus is actually referring to those white dots. The male is about double the size of the female, and the front legs and the chest is bright yellow in the case of males. Now, this one in Namibia is also the same general body shape of a quite a big frog, a broad head, but this one has got bluish dots on a yellowish background, and sometimes quite yellow, also on an olive tone background. But it's quite a striking frog with these blue dots. And then it's got a prominent white spot on the eardrum, and it's got what we call a vertebral line. It's a white line from the snout tip to the tip of the tail of the trika, and then the eardrum of this frog is quite far back. There's a big space between the eye and the eardrum. So morphologically, you can immediately see that this one differs from the other bullfrogs. Size-wise, it's big. It would fill a dinner plate, a big male. But our bullfrog in Gauteng can get quite big as well. Now, initially, the big bullfrog in South Africa, we had traditionally two bullfrog species. One in KwaZulu-Natal that extends a bit up in Limpopo and Mpumalanga provinces. And that's a smallish bullfrog. and then the big bullfrog that extends all the way up from the Karoo through the Free State, Northwest, Gauteng, and then Dole of southern Botswana and into Namibia. And this one was known to extend up all the way into Angola and so on. Now we know that those northernmost ones in the northeast is now this new one that we called Pyxicephalus baitalii. But we are busy with studies to look at all the others and see if they all the giant bullfrog, or are there other cryptic species hidden in there.
Mm. Professor, the new one that's been identified, is that also carnivorous? I didn't realize bullfrogs were carnivorous until I started doing a bit of looking for this conversation, that they're also known to eat other, well, they eat the little tadpoles or the juveniles that they look after. Is this one also carnivorous, like the other ones, the green one that we know?
Yeah, we don't know at this stage. Mm-hmm. Now, the metamorphs are known to be carnivorous. So when they complete their metamorphosis and the tadpoles develop, those young that leave the water are known to be carnivorous. And I've personally seen how one takes another, and while he's busy swallowing his brother, his nephew comes from behind and swallow both. They like these little Pac-Man computer games, you know. But so for them, it's survival of the fittest, and those that will grow the fastest will survive. There are reports, or a report, where somebody claimed that the adult bullfrogs eat the young. I've done many tests, and I could never confirm that. What at most could happen is that a bullfrog will bite at an intruder or at an insect and accidentally take in a tadpole or two. But they don't normally, they don't feed on their own young.
Mm.
But they do eat other frogs. They do eat small birds, small rodents, small snakes, but mostly insects. But these guys have got quite a bite. They've got sharp teeth in the upper jaw and two blunt bony projections in the lower. These are mainly used for fighting because they can fight. I once was stupid enough to hold my finger for a bullfrog, but that was a steep learning curve. You only do that once.
Is the bite quite sore?
Yeah, because involuntarily you pull back your hand and then those teeth will cut. And I still, after 30 years, I still have the scar of that bullfrog on my finger.
What happens when you get bitten by a bullfrog? So if you get bitten by a dog, for instance, you have to go get a tetanus shot. What happens when you get bitten by a bullfrog? Is there something you need to, on the rare occasion, you're the first person I've ever heard getting bitten by a bullfrog. Do you go to the hospital? What do you do for that?
No. You feel sorry for yourself. And
right,
that's it.
And carry on.
highly embarrassed and go and hide somewhere else.
And you don't tell anyone about it.
Right.
I'm fascinated the fact, though, is that, you know, the more modern we seem to get, the more we seem to find different species. Is it the fact that they're just hiding away, or is there a metamorphosis that's happened over time?
No. It is just that they, look, this new bullfrog that we now describe is in a really, probably the most remote location you can get in southern Africa. It is, it's quite far from the nearest civilization. It's remote, and very few people get to that area. And I see, but it's been known there for a long time. Local people, they eat them. And I've even, in the publication, I included a photograph where somebody's selling them on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens. And it's not that it's a new thing that developed now. It's only we play catch-up. And we now realize that this thing is different. And it's not only the bullfrogs. I mean, the other frogs are being described on a continuous basis. And at the moment, I'm busy with another frog in a different group of frogs. Where we describe a new one, and it's cryptic species, most of them, the ones that we thought were the same, and then we get the call and we realize, well, this thing calls different, and when we analyze, we say, no, it's not the same frog. So we were cautious not to split. The idea is not to now try and get as many different species as possible, but if a species is genetically totally different, it calls differently. You look carefully and there's morphological differences, it could be new. And then it could have conservation implications where a species that we may have thought that this has a wide distribution, now you discover there's a cryptic species hidden in there, it could be threatened. Because frogs are known to have very specific habitat requirements. And some species will only be found in very small geographical areas. And the biggest threat to amphibian diversity remains habitat destruction. You know, we develop all the time the, you know, cities and so on, and we build those, and not always thinking about the little critters out there.
Yeah, and I mean, as you say, you don't think about the little critters, you disturb the habitat, and it's not a case of we'll bring back the habitat, we'll bring back the frogs, because you've destroyed possibly 10 or 15 years, if not more, of the lifestyle of an animal.
Yeah. Now, luckily, frogs are resilient. I mean, they were the first animal group to colonize land. But the truth is, today they're the most threatened of all the vertebrates. If we look at fish, birds, reptiles, and mammals, frogs are the most threatened around the globe, where we roughly have about 40% of known amphibians around the globe to be threatened. And that's quite serious. And that just emphasized the importance of looking after the habitat. Now, one can ask now, what's the importance of a frog? Frogs are basal in the food chain. They serve as food for a lot of animals, but also they prey on a lot of insects and pests, mosquitoes and stuff like that. And if you do the calculations, how many insects a frog take in a daytime, it is mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
Do these new bullfrogs, do they also hibernate?
Yes, they do. And like other bullfrogs, at this stage, we do not know much about this new Betel's bullfrog breeding biology. But we suspect everything indicates that they, like other bullfrogs, hibernate and surface only to breed for 1 or 2 days, and that's it. Then they will hang around for a short while to eat, and then they disappear. So of all the frogs, they are masters in hibernating, and say if there's a year that where the rains don't fall sufficiently, they will not surface, they will not breed. So they literally breed for one day in a season. And you know, that's why people sometimes would say, okay, the bullfrogs disappeared, they extinct from my plot. I used to see them, now I don't see them. It could be that you just missed them. Or on the other hand, when they breed, they come out in numbers and people would say, oh, there's a plague on my farm. you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's just not understanding the frog.
And so how long can they hibernate for, Paul?
It's difficult to say in nature, but we've run an experiment and it's several years.
Years?
Where they literally dig in the soil. They don't have a channel. They just go down and then they shed, like a reptile, shed the skin a couple of times, and this will form a kind of a cocoon around the frog. And there the frog will sit and just survive on the little bit of oxygen that is present in soil, but the metabolism shuts down or slow tremendously, and this frog just sits there and awaits the rain. But it takes more than a drizzle to wake up a bullfrog. Mm. It needs a proper high-felt downpour, as we know it very well in Gauteng. Mm. If it rains at 40 millimeters or so, the next morning the bullfrogs will be breeding. And they breed in daytime.
Oh.
Wow.
Which is very unusual for frogs. And one would think that a bullfrog, it's a big frog, it must have a very loud voice. The opposite. You will hear it say maybe for 10 to 20 meters, whereas some of the tiny frogs you could hear for a kilometer. So they don't use call to attract the female over long distances. Females come to the pond where they know the breeding takes place and then respond to the males. And then there's this fierce fighting among the males, and they will spawn, and then the females disappear. And the male, one of the males will stay behind and look after the tadpoles. And they take between, say, 20 and 25 days to complete metamorphosis.
Oh, wow. Professor, I must thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been fascinating learning about the African bullfrog.
Sure. Yeah, and the new one, the Beatles bullfrog.
Thank you so much.
Good.
Thank you. That is Professor Louis Dupreer, professor in zoology at the Northwest University. He and his team recently identified a new bullfrog. There were three, and now there is four with this new discovery.